This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, La Mer Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Good evening, Wahoos and ACC fans. This is Franco with Hobbo. It is a sort of a misty, dreary...
I know. What are we living in London? What's going on here?
What the heck is going on?
But we won a football game. How about that? That's always good.
Well, you know, I think most everybody figured the Hoos would be 1-2 at this point. I'm not sure anybody predicted that it would be anything like the way the games turned out. You know, they struggled mightily with that passing game out at UCLA and LA. They played gamely, aggressively, and with tons of heart and effort. And scared the pants off of Notre Dame.
Yeah, I was just going to say, everything is what if, but, I mean, what if we had found a way to hold on against Notre Dame? I mean, if we're 2-1 at this stage with a win over a ranked team, everybody's feeling pretty good.
I got a theory on that.
You got a theory. Go ahead.
I just want to wrap up on my thought with William Mary. First off, you got to take your hat off and applaud William Mary. They did have the week off before the Virginia game. So they were arrested. They watched the Virginia-Notre Dame game. So they got to see some of Virginia's tendencies. And Jimmy Laycock has been around a long time. He's a smart coach. So anybody that thought that William Mary was going to be some kind of pushover is crazy. Now, this particular analyst, I did predict a 3-touchdown win. I thought at the end of the third quarter that's exactly what we were going to get. But then something happened there. I'm not sure anybody can put their finger on it. But Virginia left their defense on the field for almost the whole fourth quarter. And Coach London has got to get with Tenuta and Archer and the rest of those guys, and they've got to figure out what's going on with the D. I know they had to replace Anthony Harris, and that's a big deal. I know they had to replace Eli Harold, Henry Coley, Daquan Romero, and Max Vallis. But gee whiz, got to stop the run game, and you can't let people throw the bomb right over the top. You know,
as the paper said today, they've given up too many big plays, and a lot of the rushing plays are right up the middle. They seem to be other.
Well,
teams
they're breaking tackles.
They're having success going up the middle.
Teams are breaking tackles.
The funny thing about William and Mary is, you know, with the scholarship situation, 65 versus 85, it was William and Mary that you would have expected to run out of gas late in the game, but it almost looked like it was Virginia.
Well, it's weird, William and Mary. Pretty much got torched in the third quarter. I thought Virginia's play calling by Fairchild was really good. The screen pass that they threw to Smoke Mizell for the 70-yard touchdown.
80, but who's counting?
80, sorry. I don't know.
Smoke is counting.
The bottom line is it was a brilliant call at the time.
It was a great call, and then the kick return. I mean,
punt return to be... Well, correct here.
Excuse me.
Yeah, well, it's the first punt return for a touchdown
since
Alvin Pearman. Alvin Pearman, and we all loved Alvin Pearman. But anyway, let's talk about our show tonight. We're very excited. We've got Ahmad Hawkins, caught the greatest pass ever in the long historic series with Virginia Tech. We've got Mark Verica, the former UVA quarterback, and this is the first time for Mark on the show. We're looking forward to him. And we've also got Dr. Glenn Kerr from Ortho Virginia. We're going to talk about the injuries and the rehab and so forth and some updates on some of the Virginia players. We got a little bit of news today from Coach London. So, Hobbo, takeaways. Here's the bugaboo. 3 games have been played. And if there is a gorilla in the room, it's the fact that Virginia has not gotten a single turnover. And maybe the most frustrating thing of all is on Saturday, Virginia roughed up the quarterback in the fourth quarter. The ball was on the ground forever, and two Virginia players ran over as if they were going to try to shield somebody else from getting on the ball. From the time you're in the eighth grade, you're taught to dive and cover the football like it's a hand grenade. They did not go for the ball with their hands. They didn't dive on it. And Coach Linden addressed that today, and he says that will not happen again. He said they are drilling that today. They practice that today. And if you see a fumble against Boise State or a ball goes on the turf against Pitt, I promise you people will be flying on top of that football.
You know, when you dive and surround a hand grenade, it's usually one and done.
Yeah. Well, it's – hold on.
It's much more rewarding to surround a football.
Yeah. You smother it. It's not going to kill you. Yeah. But you got to dive on it. You got to want that football. But the other thing is special teams, and, you know, I'm fed up with UVA special teams coach Larry Lewis. He's a funny guy. I like him. But let's face it, kickoff coverage, punt coverage are pathetic. Punt protection – they got a punt blocked in the end zone. The last thing they should have told the punter, Nick Conte, before he went out there to try to punt from the back of the end zone is, you cannot take a step. Catch, kick. It's like a little pooch thing. You're just trying to get it out of there.
If you're a punter, you don't know that?
He should know it, but he still took a full step, and he got smothered and blocked.
It was almost like he was trying to take a side step to do one of those Australian kicks or whatever, but it clearly got blocked, and then... You know, last week against Notre Dame, they had the fake field goal that Notre Dame ran in for a touchdown, and then, of course, the onside kick to start the second half against William & Mary.
Well, so
they've had some breakdowns on special teams, there's no question about it.
There's some fundamental flaws. The punt coverage unit is not surrounding the returner like a halo. They're not getting there, and this has gone on ever since he's been the special teams coach. And you guys know me. I'm a huge fan of these guys. They're working hard. But gee whiz, enough's enough. I mean, we're giving up 8 to 10 yards in punt return exchanges. Notre Dame game, it turned out to be the big deal. The other thing is...
the kid from William & Mary kicked the heck out of the football.
Doesn't matter. The Virginia punter has been kicking the daylights out of the ball.
But the William & Mary guy almost outkicked the coverage. That may have been why we had the punt return. Who knows?
Well, you know... On that particular play, William & Mary looked tired. Their men didn't get down the field. Virginia had punt block on, and they neutralized them at the line of scrimmage. And so William & Mary's cover team was spread out all over the field. And for a guy as athletic and talented as their man,
Maurice Kennedy
from Richmond, I believe he played at Verona.
It's got to be fun for a defensive guy to have an opportunity to run a punt back like that.
Let me tell you, that will not be the last one. Now that they've tasted that, you watch. The punt return team for Virginia is going to be much better. All right. Hey, let's promote or tease, as they say in the radio biz, Ahmad Hawkins. What a fine football player at Virginia. He played from 1997 to 2000. He wore two numbers. He was so good, he wore two numbers. He wore number 80, and he wore a defensive number. I can't remember. Maybe 9. That's right, number 9 when he went to defense. Played on 6 teams in the Arena League. He now does WINA pregame. Without further ado, our good friend and longtime contributor, Ahmad Hawkins. Welcome, Ahmad.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're great. How about you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. A little rainy down here in Charlottesville.
Yeah, we're getting some of that now. It looks like it can't make up its mind. But Ahmad, Jim and I here in the studio, and we were talking about some of the things that we didn't like about the game, and one thing we definitely loved was the Maurice Kennedy punt return for a TD, and we also loved, obviously, the screen pass they threw to Smoke Mizell, which was a thing of beauty. But I heard your pregame this past Saturday, just as I did the pregame for the Notre Dame game, and I thought you guys nailed both of them. However, the outcome this past Saturday, the margin was nothing close to what you and Ty Lewis and Antonio Rice predicted. And what do you think happened in the fourth quarter? And why couldn't Virginia get the football? And why couldn't they finish them off? They were up 35-20. Why didn't they pull away right then and there?
Uncharted waters. You think of the guys that's been on the team. They've never been a part of basically a blowout. The last time I think was maybe BMI, and that's when Ham had that great college debut when he ran for over 130 yards. But we just haven't been there before. We haven't learned how to play far ahead. We've always been in close games. If you go back to the Louisville game last year, we got up on them maybe close to 2 touchdowns, and they came back and made it interesting before that muff punt kind of sealed the deal for them.
And Pitt,
for us to beat them. So
Pitt at home last year was the same, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So it just seems like, you know, from the coaching staff to the players, we just don't know how to continue to play like we're losing. That's always my thing. Stop scoreboard watching and just play football like you're losing, and you pretty much win a lot of your games because you're always going to have that sense of urgency.
Ahmad, on the some of the brighter notes, clearly Virginia has found a couple of new playmakers. The running back from Georgia, he can play. Number 10?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, he can. First ever carry one for a touchdown.
You know, do you remember a guy ever doing that? And he broke a bunch of tackles.
Yeah, I don't know. We were trying to research and think on it, and I can't remember. I know Kevin Parks had a great first game, but I don't know if he scored on his first carry like that. But that was just amazing because he ran through three guys.
Jordan Ellis.
You know, so it was just a great run and a great second effort, and it's just showing, you know, I don't call him smoke monster. I call him firecracker Moselle. Just showing him that there's guys behind him that's, you know, chomping at the bit to get on the field.
Ahmad, just real quick, and this is Ahmad Hawkins, by the way. Much discussion about the Virginia defense.
Mm-hmm.
I know you played both offense and defense. From a defensive standpoint, what do they need to do better?
Pressure the quarterback. With their front four, I think we're talented up the middle. I think Mike Moore is so versatile. He's playing linebacker. And last year, he played a lot of defensive tackle with David Dean. I would love to see Andrew Brown get more snaps. I just think from a mental standpoint, he's just not there yet. And I know he has a finger issue. That's why he has that big cast on his hand. But I like for us to get pressure with those front four guys so we won't have to send linebackers. Because we're playing a lot of island coverage. What I mean by that, we're playing blitz technique, man-to-man, no help from the safeties because Rainey and Quinn have to come down and play within 7 yards to help with the young linebackers that we have as far as getting that gelling and getting on the same page, gap integrity. So just from a front seven standpoint, I want to see us really improve because it's really hurting us on the back end.
All right, let's go back to offense for a second. I was trying to name the other young playmakers real quick because I think people need to be looking at them in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, it was good to see David Eldridge make that big catch.
Yep.
A lot has been said about him, and they're expecting some excellent plays from him. Clearly, number 33, little Perry Jones's copycat, Olamide Zaccheaus.
Zaccheaus, yes.
Boy, can he run. He is fast.
Yeah, he's explosive. I would love to see him actually on kickoff returns and punt returns exclusively. I know, Kennedy has been vying to catch punts. He really enjoys it, but I like to use the kids back there exclusively because he's a special type of kid that you want to keep the ball in his hands. He has that dynamic speed that can really change the ball game.
And, looks like Keon Johnson has settled in. He's going to be a good contributor. I thought it was very strange. Matt Johns had a pretty good game against William Mary. There were a couple times where I sort of felt like they should just turn him loose and let's become a passing team. One thing that's really strange is the offensive line. If you could make heads of tails of all the rotations, you're doing better than anybody I know. I mean, one minute I look out there and Whitmire is on one side of the line, the next minute he's on the other. Eric Smith is in the game, then he's out of the game. Burbank is in there. Then Sean Carl started last week. Coach London said today in his press conference, Sean Carl was going to start this week. 2 weeks ago, nobody could have told you Sean Carl was. So
I mean, he must have graded out well from a previous game. So now they built confidence in him. I know just with Eric Smith, it just seems like they're losing confidence in him just because you remember he came in to play as a true freshman.
Yeah.
Opposite side of Morgan Moses, and the expectations were so high that maybe it was just, it was just too quick just to praise him that much. So I think that's when you have a lot of people flipping around, but it's not good for the running game. It's not good for Johns because he doesn't really understand where everybody's going to be. And as offensive linemen, you know, that's a great marriage, the offensive line and the quarterback. You look at the Dallas Cowboys, Romo has plenty of time back there, and that helps. So it's you know, as far as the running game and our identity, I agree with you. I think we need to just be a passing team, throw short bubble screens, slant routes, some quick out routes, make the short passing game your extended running game, similar to what you see the New England Patriots do with Tom Brady. Not saying Matt Johns is Tom Brady, but get the ball out fast, and it helps with the rotating of all those offensive linemen.
And use the passing game to set up the run.
Yep,
I mean,
exactly.
Let's face it, Virginia is not going to run over anybody with 5'10", and that's being generous, Taequann Mizell. Albert Reed says he's 5'9", I'm not sure. Daniel Hamm, 5'10", they finally took the cast off his wrist.
You're saying we don't have Jerome Bettis back there as
well? Look, let's face it. This, as far as I'm concerned, Jordan Ellis runs a little tougher than those guys. I do like and am very impressed by Evan Butts at tight end. He is clearly got talent. And I like the fact that Connor Wingo Reeves was able to play this past week, and he got out into the flat and caught that throwback for a touchdown on a bad pass. The ball should have
hit. On a bad pass. You're exactly right.
He slowed down. He was able to get way down. I mean, gee whiz, no 50-year-old could have bent over and caught that pass.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say, Mr. Maloney?
I'm saying, Hobbo, even a 65-year-old with a fake hip can't do it. All right. So, Ahmad, give us your take on this game against Boise State, Friday night, 8 o'clock, lights. Here's a chance for Virginia fans and the team to sort of regain some confidence.
Definitely. It's a game that could get, the fan base excited. The fan base will pretty much, for lack of better words, discuss it with Coach Lennon and the coaching staff just because of how we struggled versus a team like William & Mary. Even though we got the victory, a lot of people I talked to say they felt better after the Notre Dame game than they did after William & Mary. But you take a win how you get it. The guys weren't satisfied with the win, but it was a win. I know the coaching staff will work on things to get it right. You know, as far as we've been playing well in spurts. We haven't put a full game together. We need to start out slow. We pick it up. And then another part, we slow back down. This was the first time, I think, in maybe 8 or 9 games that I can remember that we scored in the third quarter. And then we didn't do anything in the fourth quarter. So it was a reverse. So it's all about the coaching staff implementing a great game plan. Boise State's coming in off of a big win. You can give them some false confidence because we did struggle versus William & Mary. Hopefully that's a nice setup that we can use to our advantage. But it's going to be imperative for us to stop the zone read because we haven't stopped it all year. Give them a 100-yard rusher in back-to-back games now. That those A-gaps have been killing us. They've been getting great push in the cutback lane. So it's going to be gap integrity, getting pressure with your front four, being solid on the back end. As far as offense, continue to throw the football. We have a top flight receiver in Canaan,
yep,
who's a very humble kid that probably will get double teamed now. So we're going to need other weapons to really step up, and they did that last game. So it's going to be up to Coach Fairchild to really implement game plans because we're not going to out-talent people. It's going to take game plans for us to win. We don't have that talent that we can just say, hey, Thomas Jones, nobody's there, go make a play. Or Billy McMullen, go up there, make a play. We have to out-scheme guys to win.
Well, hopefully I'd execute him as well. I'm hopeful. I think I've seen some things in the last 2 weeks that lead me to think that the Virginia football team is closer to being a better team. However, people have got to improve this week in practice. And George Welsh used to always say, you play like you practice. So,
yep.
And I think you remember George Welsh, don't you?
Oh, do I? You're not that good. No matter what, he was never that good.
He was trying to keep you humble.
Yeah,
he wanted you hungry.
Oh, yeah, and it definitely worked, man, because we bust our butts for that man and his coaching staff. They always made sure we were prepared, and we always wanted to make sure we performed like we were prepared. And these guys and these kids get it, and they're trying their hardest, and they make mistakes. We had 10 guys on the field for 2 plays. We still did well. The coaching staff are trying their best. I know the fan base. I know they're impatient. I understand them. Let's stay the course. It's early in the year. Let's get it turned around. And these kids are going to need our support. And I'm a Wahoo for life. So I'm with them, whoever our coach is. I know people are disgruntled. And I just don't like to talk negatively about the coaching staff because it doesn't do our kids any well.
Well, hey, listen, we agree. Coach London is doing the best he can. Listen, Ahmad, thank you for joining us tonight, and we'll bring you back hopefully before the end of the season, all right?
I appreciate it, guys. Wahoo. Wah.
Be good, Ahmad. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back on the other side, we'll have Dr. Glenn Kerr. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.